Tonight we're going to learn the 13th parak of Maseilas Yesharim, or start it, Be'or Midas HaPrishus, to clarify the Midah of Prishus. The Ramchal begins by telling us HaPrishus Hu Techilas HaChasidus. Prishus is the beginning of Chasidus. The word Prishus has to do with refraining or staying away from certain things, and Chasidus has to do with doing things that you ordinarily would not be obligated to do. Vesirin, you will see, Shekomasha bi'anu ar'at humasha mitztarchal od mishiyet tzadik, and you'll see that everything we explained until now describes what is necessary to be considered a tzadik. U'mikano lahalo hu lishiyet chosid, and from this point on, we're going beyond Tzaddik to Chassid. So Ramchal began his sefer, Maseilas Yesharim, by explaining there are steps that a person has to climb as he gets closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the levels are following the Braisa, the Pinchas Ben Yair, and he started with Zehirus, then Zerizus, and following Zerizus, we discussed Nikius. And the concepts of those sections were for a person to examine his everyday activities, examine the mitzvahs you do, make sure you're doing them properly, maybe doing things that are wrong, that you shouldn't do certain things, what to stay away from. And it all has to do with just doing what's right, doing the right thing, not doing the wrong thing. And ultimately, a person who reaches the level of Nikius is totally clear of any wrongdoing in the slightest minutia of halacha. The absolute diktuk, being medaktik, in everything he does to make sure he's doing it properly and not chasam doing something wrong. And a person who achieves that level is a tremendous tzaddik. If a person gets there, he's a high-level tzaddik. That's only half the sefer. The rest of the sefer talks about, okay, now you're tzaddik, let's keep moving on. What's the next level beyond tzaddik? So halavai, we hope, we wish we could all reach the level of tzaddik. That's the goal, to do everything right, all the time. That's the level he's describing. But in fact, there are many more levels beyond that. What happens is, and I think this is true probably of most of us, there are some areas where we struggle to be a tzaddik. It's very hard. But in other areas, it's not so hard. And in those other areas, we work on the next level, the prishus, the chasidus. So we're not level, so to speak. In some areas, we're busy with things that are chasidus and prishus. Whereas in other areas, we wish we could still be a Naki. We're not yet up to the Madriga of Tzaddik. And I don't think this is hard to understand. In other words, maybe for Shabbos, we're very careful with Shabbos. We're Tzaddik when it comes to Shabbos. We can work on the next level of Shabbos, beyond Tzaddik. But when it comes to Shemir Saloshim, maybe we're not holding by Tzaddik yet. Then we still have to work on getting to the level of Tzaddik. By all things, some things are easier for us, some things are harder for us. With kashrus, maybe we're holding by tzaddik when it comes to kashrus. Okay, now what's the next level? Once you hold by tzaddik, what's the next level in machalos asuris? What's the next level there? But at the same time, maybe we're still struggling with davening. So we're not going to be consistently on the same level in every area. The great, great people are. Could be the great tzaddikim, they're totally tzaddikim in everything, and then they work on the next level of the precious chassidus and so on. But for most of us, that's not usually the case. For most of us, we're imbalanced, so to speak. In some areas of our avodah, we work very hard on getting to nikias, whereas other areas, we have achieved nikias, so we work on the higher levels. So here he's focusing on what are the higher levels. And Ramchal writes, "V'nimtza haprishus im hachasidus u'kuma hazehirus im hazrizus." The complement of precious and chasidus parallels zehirus and zerizus. Shezeh besur meira v'zeh baseh tov. There is the element of staying away from bad and the element of doing good. So zehirus is staying away from bad. Zerizus is to do good. So precious is again staying away from things. It's refraining from things. And chasidus is the ase tov, when you're focusing on things that you can do better. Vihine. Kaha precious umashama chazal. The concept of precious, the rule of precious, and perhaps the origin of precious. Kadesh, umashama chazal, chazal teach us, kadesh atzmecha b'mutalach. You should make yourself holy in things that are permitted for you. Vizos hi hora asa shalamila atzman. That's really what the word means. Parishus, what's something to say, lios poresh umarchik atzman adavra, to distance yourself from something, banisha oser al atzmo dvar heto, where a person prohibits on himself something which is, in fact, permitted. La kavana bezesa, what's the intent? Shlo yifka b'isser atzmo, to stay away from an isser, we create barriers and fences that keep us away from the isser. That's the kas of precious, and that's kadosh atzmo d'loch, or it all goes back to the pasuk kadoshim tihiyu. When the pasuk says kadoshim tihiyu, the Torah tells us to be kadosh. It's an overall expression of figure out what leads to kedusha, and you should engage in that. And that's this concept of precious, which leads to kedusha. Kadosh atzmo d'loch, things that are otherwise permitted, we will abstain and we will refrain as a fence, as a barrier, not to chasom, come even close to something which is forbidden. So the concept is, anything that could cause something bad, even though right now it's not doing that, and certainly it's not actually bad, a person should stay away from it. Not because it's bad, but because it might lead to something which is bad. And if you think and consider, you'll see there are three levels. Yesh ha'isurim atzma. There are things that are absolutely forbidden. Then the second level is the various fences and decrees and barriers that the Chachamim have instituted across the board for all of Klai Yisrael. The Yesh, and then there's a third level. Ha-herchekim shemutal kol parush u-parush la-asos. The various harchakos, the distances that a parush adopts for himself, li-yos kones b'so shalo, he comes into his own domain, Ubone gedor matzmo, he builds his own fences. Tahara niach min ha'ter matzmo, he won't engage in the allowances. Shlo nasu l'kol yisol, these are not forbidden to Klai Yisol. V'liv v'shmehem, but he won't do it. K'deshi meruchok min hara hecher god, he must be very, very far from the bad. So you have the isurim, you have the things that Torah says, don't do these things. Okay, Torah says not to do it. Then we know the chachamim came along and added barriers. We know that. Chum went along and said, don't do this, you might come to that, don't engage with muksa, because you do muksa, you might do malacha, you might do hotza. So we know the Chum made their barriers in many areas, almost every area, basically, to have this yoga and the gezeiros and Chum. And that's for everybody. Then you have the third level. The Chum didn't make this gezeira. This is my own personal conduct. This is my own personal careful. I'm being careful with this beyond what the Chachamim have instituted, what is brought in the Gemara, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch. I'm more than that. So the Ramchal asks the obvious question. V'im Tomer, you ask a question. Minayin lon elios mosifim b'holchem b'yisur. Where do we get this idea that one should add to that which is already aser? V'ay Chachamim ezechom avocha om, udin toch ezal teach us. Isn't it sufficient what the Torah prohibited that you want to make new things aser? This is a rebuke to the person who makes a neder. He says, a neder, I won't eat apples. Makes a neder. Why are you doing that? There's many things you can't eat. The Torah says, don't eat shrimp and don't eat chazir. You don't have to aser apples. Why are you asering things the Torah didn't aser? The Gemara says, it's like, why are you making these yisurim? So why would anyone be more parish than the Chachamim require? Our Chazal saw in their wisdom that certain things need a barrier. Lasus mishmeres, and make a guard to stay away. Nu kavarasus, they did. Where they saw fit that there's a room to stumble, and therefore we should make a barrier, they did. Umashehenichu leheter, and the things that they allowed, they didn't make a barrier, whom ibn is because. Shero hayosai roa leheter. They saw this could be okay. But all the issue, we're not going to ask it. Some say we're going to make new decrees that our Chacham didn't make. Are we smarter and more careful than the Chachamim? If the Chachamim of the Gemara did not see fit to make this Gezerah, who do we think we are to make new Gezerahs? But oh, and furthermore, Shein Gevul Adav Azeh, there's no limit. If a person is allowed to build barrier upon barrier, he's going to sit desolate, suffering, without enjoying this world at all. A person is going to have to give judgment for Hashem. If he saw something delicious and he didn't want to eat it, Hashem would say, why don't you eat it? I made it for you to enjoy, to make a bracha. Why don't you eat it? It was mutter. He could have done it, and he doesn't do it. There's going to be a demand in Shemayim. Why didn't you have it? There's actually a pasuk we rely on. Pasuk Kehelas, what my eyes saw, I didn't keep it from them. So these are serious questions. If the Chacham didn't answer it, why do I think it should be aser? And if I could keep answering things that the Chacham didn't answer, I'll answer everything. And in Shemayim, don't they demand of me, why am I refraining from things that Hashem provided in this world? Well, why am I doing that to myself? These are very strong questions. The Ramchal answers Hatshuva, he answers as follows. And this is really the essence and the crux of Precious. Ki HaPrishus Vadei Tzorech U'Muchuch. Precious is an absolute necessity. V'hesiru Lo Chachamei Zechon V'Chazal teaches about. Humash Nemer says, Kedoshim Tiyu, Perushim Tiyu, Kedoshim Tiyu, you be Kadosh. Separate from things that are mutter. Odom, they say, Kal Yosh B'tasuk HaKadosh. Kal Chamei Nazir, a person who fasts is called a Kadosh. We learn it from Nazir. Nazir is a Kadosh, he doesn't drink wine. This person doesn't eat anything. Of course he's a Kadosh. Odom, Chazal say, Tzadik Oichil Asoy V'Nachsho Zechizki Melech Yehuda. The Tzadik ate to satisfaction, that's Chizkiyo. Two bundles of vegetables and meat would be on his table every day. So that's a melech. That means he didn't eat a lot. They said, Rabbeinu Kaddish, Shebashas Misas, Zokav Esras, Boisav Amen, Rabbeinu Kaddish, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died. He lifted his 10 fingers and he said, you know, I didn't take from this world even my small finger. Instead of a person davening for Divrei Torah to enter into him, he should daven that food and drink should not enter into him. All these statements of Chazal teach us beferish explicitly. There's a concept of precious, but there's an obligation of precious. But we still have to answer the various marmorim that go against us. So what is it about? There's definite distinctions that we have to make. There's a precious that we have to do. And then there's a precious we're warned against. Not to do. Shlomo said, don't be such a big tzaddik. So let's explain what is the proper good precious. V'nomer, we say as follows. We've clarified early in the Sefer, in the introduction, that everything in this world is essentially a test. It's a challenge. We wrote this before. We proved it. It's true to us. We know man is weak. We know people are attracted to things that aren't good for them. So obviously, whatever you can do to escape from bad things, you got to do. You have to employ every technique at your disposal. To protect yourself from the evil that follows. There is not a single worldly pleasure where there's no sin that follows. It's an amazing line. There isn't a pleasure in this world that won't potentially lead to chet. That doesn't mean that everyone who engages in this pleasure will sin. But there isn't a pleasure that doesn't have the potential of leading to sin. Think about it. It's a very powerful emes. Derech Moshe, for instance. Hamaychel v'hamishta. Eating and drinking. Kishenuku mikol yisur achela. When it's absolutely clean from any possible prohibition, hinei mitarmim. That's mutter. Amnam, but we also know. Mili hakeres moshech achel. Because if a person eats too much, then he may be inclined to rebel against Hashem. Umishte hayayin, if a person drinks too much wine, Moshech achrav haznus, it could lead to znus, like we learned from the parsha of Sota. Ushar dvaram rom, other bad things come from being drunk. Kol shkein shibiyosa odem margal asva spoil machinu shkein, if a person makes it a habit of eating to satisfaction, food and drink, hinein pam achas yechso yigilus, what happens if one time he can't get enough food that he's accustomed to eating? Yichav though, it'll pain him. V'yargish ma'od, to be sensitive to it. Because of that, he'll throw himself into his business, and purchasing and buying and selling and dealing, no, that his table will be set to his liking, and that'll lead him to corruption, it'll lead him to stealing, deceit, he may end up lying and swearing, and all other sins that follow him the steps, umesu atzim and avoidim in a term, and it feel not to mention he's going to miss out from avoidus Hashem, learning Torah, davening with a minyan, or davening at all. Mashayin niftim kolze. Now none of this would happen to him. Lumit chilaso, if from the beginning, lo moshech atzmo banos el, he wouldn't have been drawn after these pleasures. Luki inyan ze amu bin ben sarimor. We learned this from the ben sarimor. The Torah suf died to the Torah saw what will be the end. About Kenal inin hasanus, the same is true with immorality. Amr kolavoy soita pekulkuli azma atzmin ayan. If someone sees the soita in her disgrace, he should vow to be a nozer, not to drink wine. Vesira kizos hitachbula gedor la'odim. This is an amazing scheme. Laman hi natsel miyitzo, to save yourself from your yitzer. Kevin sheba yosef be'esika avera kosher l'natsa. When you're holding by the chet, you can't escape. You can't conquer the yitzer. The trick is when you're distant from the chet, to stay distant. Because then there'll be heart the yitzhak to suck you in. It's an amazing concept he's saying. Everything that indulges in this world can potentially lead to chaton. And therefore, that's where you have to put on the brakes and not let things get out of hand. Because if you don't, then even though what you're doing now is mutter, eventually you may succumb to things that are awesome. So the way he's describing at the end is a lifestyle. If a person pursues a certain lifestyle, now I'm not saying it's usher to live that lifestyle. It's not usher to live that lifestyle. There's no isurim in living that lifestyle. The problem is, if he wants to maintain that lifestyle, he may find himself cheating in business, he may find himself defrauding the government, he might find himself falsifying tax forms, whatever people need to do, you gotta do what you gotta do. He needs this much to support the lifestyle he chose for himself. If he finds he can't afford it, he's gonna have to find ways to afford it. And unfortunately, these things happen all the time. It is very unfortunate how many people daven and keep some mitzvahs in prison. I don't want to call them Erlich HaYidin, because if obviously not Erlich HaYidin, they wouldn't be in jail. Someone once was talking to Shimon Schwarzman Vocha, and he said, there's a firm fellow I know, and he's doing this in business, he's cheating. And if Shimon said, well, what did you just say? Say it again. It's a firm person I know, And he says, no, you can't say that. He's not a firm person. If he's cheating and he's gonvening and he's falsifying his tax, he's not a firm person. He might keep kosher. He might send his girls to Beis Yaakov and his boys to yeshiva. He's not a firm person if he's cheating. It's an oxymoron. You can't say he's a firm person, he's cheating. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who do that. They fall into it. If they wouldn't have chosen to live a lifestyle beyond their means, then they wouldn't have the same nishyonis or temptations to do things illegal and against halacha. And this is true across the board. And this is what Tavchal is trying to drive home, the concept precious. If you decide up front that this is not for me, I don't need this, I don't need to eat this much, I don't need to drink the wines from the expensive bottles that cost who knows how much money, I'm fine without it, I don't need these things, then you're not pulled into that world and you don't have to sustain it, you don't have to support it and so on. If a person allows it, there's nothing wrong with drinking 200 bottles of dollar bottles of wine at your table. For you it's covered Shabbos, okay. No one says it's usher. That's not usher. But are you going to do everything upkehitin in Erlich to continue that? Or you're going to have to start cheating. This is where Precious comes in. Precious is, before you're there, before you're tested, before you succumb, let's set up a system where it's much easier to avoid the Yetzer Hara. And that's where Precious comes in. And again, his examples are with food and drink and lifestyle. It's much broader than that. It really is much broader than that. But again, conceptually, it starts with my decision of being a kadosh that I know this is mutter, I don't need it. And if I can live without it, then I'm not pulled one thing to the other. Hamalbushin, hakishutin. What about clothing and jewelry? Lo hisira ter al yafi matav nisam. Torah doesn't say you can't have nice clothes. Torah doesn't say you can't have beautiful jewelry. It's true that Torah says you can't have shanis. Shanis you can't have. Clothing you buy, make sure there's no shanis in your cloak. Even tzitzis, if a man has a four-cornered garment, he's tzitzis. Plus kulam utam, everything's good. I have no shanis, tzitzis taken care of, everything is good. Amnam, however, milo yeida, shemavisha sepe'erva rikma, timashecha gaiva, v'gamaz nusig babo. Who doesn't know that by wearing beautiful, embroidered, or designer, or fashionable clothing, it leads to arrogance, and it could cross the boundary into znus, levad hakina, v'hataiva, not to mention jealousy, and desire, v'oishik, and mshochim, v'kolmashu, yokol, ad mesigo, and perhaps cheating people to get things that are very expensive and hard to get. Ukvar omer chazak, as I said, Kimin Shiroya Yetsa Odam Shatola Ma'akevo Mashmesh Bevagodla Masalsa Basara. When a sultan sees a person walking with very deliberate steps, very careful with his clothing, how his hairstyle is, I'm Mizeshali. The Yetzara says, I got him. He's in my grasp. Hatiyul, the Hadibur. Going for a walk, having conversation. In Ainabadvar Isser, if you're not saying things that are forbidden to say, Vadai. Din termotu, it's absolutely permitted. What's wrong with going for a walk and having a talk? Omnam, however, kamal bittel teira nimshichamenu, for a man, isn't there going to be a lot of bittel teira from such luxuries? Kamen haloshen hara, and how much loshen hara will end up being spoken? Kamen eshkaram, how many falsehoods? Kamen etzonis, making fun of things that shouldn't be made fun of. Va'oimer berov devorom liachdal pasha, the pasuk in Mishlei. The more you say, you won't escape sin. Klal hadavar, the rule is, kivin shekol inyanei ha'olam einam ela sakanas atzumos. Everything in the world is essentially a very dangerous sakana. Ech lo yishubach, how can we not praise misha yirtza limolet mehem? If a person wants to escape, u'misha yarba lahachmen, he stays away from it. Zo inyan ha'prishas atov. This is the concept of the good precious. He'll only take and use the world what he needs. Nehatzerech is a necessity. Ashla b'tivo elov, he requires it. He needs it. It's his nature. Humash ishtabech Rebbe b'mayimish. That's what Rebbe was saying. So nenim in oylem hazeh afil betzrikatan. He didn't benefit from this world, even his small finger. Imayos a nasi saw, despite the fact that he was a nasi. V'shulchano shulchan malachim. His table was like a table for kings. Behechrich, he had to the yakar nisiyuso to show the chashivas of the nisiyus. Kamam zal shnei goyim bevitnech. Say Rebbe v'antaninus. The two great people were Rabbi Antoninus. Whether it was summer or winter, the table always had lettuce and cucumbers and radishes and so on. And similarly, Chizkio was the same. So all the Mamorim I quoted that defend the practice of Prishus is for this concept that it's a sakana, so it saves you. Then Tishal v'Tomas, you're going to ask a question. If this is actually necessary and it's required and everything's a sakana, so then lama lo gozer with the chacham. And so why didn't the chacham make the gezera? Because she gozer siyogos with takana. She gozer. They made gezeras. They made takana. So why didn't they make these precious that we're talking about mandatory? He had shuv mavaras pshuta. It's a very simple answer. It's very clear. There's a rule. The Chacham will not make a decree unless most people can do it. Don't expect most people to be chasidim. We're 500 tzaddikim. Remember, we're beyond tzaddik. Everyone has to be a tzaddik. Everyone. No one has a note that says you're exempt. Every first grade boy Beit Yehuda, every first grade girl Beit Yaakov, they have to end up being a tzaddik. We all have to be tzaddikim. You don't have a way out of that. We all have to be tzaddikim. That's not optional. But beyond tzaddik, everyone has to be a chassid and a parish? No. Not everyone has to be a chassid and everyone has to be a parish. Not everyone can be. Not everyone can be. Achasridim, the select few, asher ba'am, among the people, achafetzim, this goes to the kivos yisbrach, who really have a desire to be close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, ulazakos b'zichusam, and their merit will benefit the Kol Shaar Amon, everyone else, hanis labam, who depends on them, lahem magi l'kayim mishnas chasidim, they have the duties of the chasid, ashal yorch l'kayim, which is not for everyone else, heim heim sidri ha'prishus ha'eliki b'zevach, this is the precious that Hashem wants, shekimun sheyevshul u'mosh tiyakula shal b'malat achas, you can't expect an entire nation to be on the same adrega. There's so many madrigas, even according to his seichel. So there'll be a few special people. They'll prepare themselves. Through them, those who are not prepared will also merit to the love of Hashem and the Shechina residing in the midst. So it's like so simple and clear. Precious is not for everyone. Tzaddik is for everyone. Being a Naki is for everyone. But you can't expect everyone to be a parish. So Chazal, we're not going to make these gezeiros. We ask the kasha. If Chazal didn't answer it, why am I answering it? The answer is Chazal made the yisur for everybody. Everyone has to be careful with muksa. Everyone has to be careful not to have chicken with milk because you might end up eating meat and milk. These are Chachamim's gezeiros for everybody. The Chazal were not going to impose precious beyond the requirements on the whole world. That's for the select few, and they have to figure it out on their own. They on their own are going to determine what are the things they need to do, and it's not for everyone. Not everyone can aspire to this madrega of parish and chassid. This is what we said early on. If you read the biography of Ari Levin's Homavocha, a tzaddik in our time. So the author says, I have a big problem because the Chazal tell us that every generation has 36 tzaddikim. There are a lot of tzaddikim. And he says, I got to know Rabbi Ari Levine. There is no way there are 36 people like him. There's no 36 people like him. Now, of course, you can say the premise is wrong. Yes, there are 36 people like him. He just doesn't know. Just because he didn't meet them doesn't mean he doesn't know who they are. Doesn't mean they don't exist. But that's his kasha. How could there be 36 Ari Levines? My answer is not a kasha b'chlal. Of course there aren't 36 Ari Levines. Ari Levine wasn't a tzaddik. He was a parush and a chosid. He was way beyond tzaddik. Way beyond tzaddik. You go through the stories in the book. He was not a tzaddik. He was beyond tzaddik. Beyond Tzaddik doesn't say there's 36. There are 36 Tzaddikim, 36 Nikiyim. Beyond that, I don't know how many there are. It doesn't have to be 36. You read how he lived his life, he was beyond. He was pro Rosh Chosid. On this level we're talking about, beyond the person does everything. So there's definitely Maimori Chazal telling us the advantages and importance of Precious. And Chazal are not going to answer these things for everybody, because it's not for everybody. Not everyone is expected to be a parish. We all have to be tzaddikim. We don't all have to be Purushim. The people who are fit to be Purushim should be Purushim. The people who can, the people who are sensitive, the people who feel this, they'll be extra careful. The word tzaddikim, Purushim, I should say, who wouldn't do malacha Matzei Shabbos until 90 minutes, 120 minutes, 200 minutes after sunset. What is that? Shabbos is over. Shabbos is over. What are you not doing malacha yet? They couldn't do malacha yet. They still felt Shabbos. How can I do malacha yet? They couldn't do malacha yet. They couldn't do it. This is something that you can't fake. This is coming from inside the neshama, that I'm nervous about this. I'm concerned about this. So for those people who have their concerns, that's fine. What the interesting thing is, and this is what I want to stress for you, because so let's shut the book now and move to another Sefer. I finished Tzaddik, we're up to Tzaddik, so all Tzaddikim, so what do I have to go further for? The answer is like I started before. It could be in many areas we never get past Tzaddik, and could be we'll struggle all our lives to reach Tzaddik in some areas. But there are other areas where we can and should strive to be parish. Because in other areas where we can manage Tzaddik, so now for ourselves, what's the next level? What's the next level? What am I supposed to do beyond this? I'll give you a simple example. Again, we're not doing Chassidus yet, but this is in the concept. Precious is staying away, Chassidus is doing. Is there an obligation anywhere brought down to say Tehillim every day? There's an obligation to daven. And we could discuss, is the obligation to daven from the Torah? Is it midrabbanon? But there's no obligation to say Tehillim. But a lot of people say Tehillim every day. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. More people should say Tehillim every day. More people should say more Tehillim every day. Right? What is that? That's Chassidus. I'm going beyond. I've been trained to daven. Baruch Hashem, I daven. Okay, now that I'm davening, I want to do more. I don't want to be satisfied with the minimum that I'm required to do. People say Tehillim. Some people say the whole Tehillim every day. That's for sure not for everybody. But these are levels of Chassidus, even though this person might not be on that level for other things. And of course, there are people for them, davening is a challenge. And they're not that good at davening. And they're striving to daven every day. So everyone is different. Everyone is different. But the point I'm making is, we are going to learn about Precious, and we are going to learn about Chassidus, because we are capable of these madregos in specific areas. We might not be capable of it in all areas. It's probably not going to happen. But in some areas, we should be capable of this. We should be able to achieve beyond what is the absolute requirements. Of course, to try to behave in a way of Chassidus or Precious in a specific area where you're not even doing it right in the first place, that's a problem. Like, that's a little ridiculous. If you're not yet Naki in a specific area, you're not doing the mitzvah right, why are you doing Precious in that area? So in the example of Tehillim, so this person isn't davening every day, but they're saying Tehillim every day. Something's wrong there. You got to daven every day first. Then we'll talk about the Tehillim. But to say the Tehillim every day, but miss davening every day, there's a problem. You don't do the Precious and Chassidus in a specific area where you're not yet holding even by doing what you're supposed to do. That's a little out of order. You got to do what you got to do first. But what I'm saying is, in the spectrum of Avodas Hashem, and it's very broad, so there are some areas that we'll be happy if we reach Tzaddik. But there are other areas that we can and should pursue beyond Tzaddik, each one according to how his neshama takes him. You know, sometimes people come up with things that are strange. It's not like mesuridic. So I suggest ask a shayla if you should undertake such a thing. I remember I was with a very chashuv yid from our city. We both went to New York. There was a Agudas Yisrael one-day type of conference of things going on in shiurim and classes. And the highlight was Rav Steinman had come from Eretz Yisrael and was going to speak. And that's why I went in. I wanted to go there for Rav Steinman's speech. He spoke to Rabbonim. So as we're walking out, this yid who's with me goes to Rav Steinman and he says, is it okay if we just say Tehillim when we want something for the Bnei Shalom, or am I supposed to be doing the Perek Shira or the Shir HaShirim 40 days, or a lot of things people do? And they're not saying they're bad things, but they're basically new. Perek Shira, the people say Perek Shira for Skulos, or Shir HaShirim for Skulos. Tehillim, Klai Yisrael said Tehillim, the Babis and the Zaydis said Tehillim. They weren't necessarily saying Perek Shira and saying, so yes, Rav Steinman, is it okay just to say Tehillim? And he said, yes, that's fine. Tehillim is fine. Tehillim is fine. If someone would come to me and say, I need something, should I say Tehillim or Perek Shira? I'll say Tehillim. Tehillim is a standard in Klai, so we say Tehillim. Not saying you can't say Perek Shira. Perek Shira is very nice, it's beautiful. But we say Tehillim. Sometimes people come up with things. Remember many years ago, a fellow in Koilo came to me. He wants to do something. I said, no, you can't do that. There's no mocha for that. You can't. That's not a correct precious. If you come across something which seems odd, unusual, it is worthwhile to ask before embracing. Not everything is our Masera. Let's put it like that. We have a Masera on certain things and a methodology and what are the proper precious and so on. Most of the things are discussed in Svarim. I'll give you an example. The Sefer HaShloh, Shloh HaKadosh, wrote a Sefer, and very often his ideas are quoted in the Mishneh Berurah, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Magen Avraham, and the Pirushim on the side. So he has a section where he says, you know, if you want to be careful, like you want to be parush, here are 70-something, I think around 70 places where the Ramah argued with the Marshal, and you should follow the Marshal L'chumra. So in the Shulchan Aruch, we learn the Shulchan Aruch straight, you'll find these 70 places, the whole Shulchan Aruch, there are things the Ramah says, numerous leniencies, maybe someone on the side will point out the Marshal disagrees. The Shulchan Aruch collected all of them and says, this is something, follow the Marshal's chumras. I think it was a Talmud of the Marshal, he was connected to the Marshal, so he felt it was wrong that Klai Yisrael embraced or printed up the Ramah's opinion and not the Mashal's opinion. So he said, okay, these are the Mashal's chumras, whole list, be machmer these things. A lot of them have to do with shechita and stuff. It won't be negay on a daily basis. My point is, there are things that we are lenient with, and there's room to be parush. Very often the precious is following an existing opinion. We don't pass in that way. There's a view that this is not okay. We don't follow that view. We hold it is okay. A proper precious would be to be careful for the opinion that's machmer. That's not inventing something new. That's not creating my own, okay, I like this new chumra of the day. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about there's an existing viewpoint who says this is a problem. We don't pass on that view. Very often halachas say it's a nice thing to accommodate other views, to be careful. Usually the Mishneh Berurah calls it a hiddur mitzvah. In positive things, it's a hiddur mitzvah. If this esrog is kosher l'halacha, but there's a sheet that says it's pasul. Everyone else says it's kosher. L'halacha is a kosher esrog. There's a view that it's not kosher. We don't hold that way. And you can find an esrog that accommodates that view, that's kosher according to the other view too. The Mishneh Berurah says it's a hiddur mitzvah to buy that other esrog. So that's like a chasidus. I'm not required to. The first esrog is a hamas and kosher. L'halacha is kosher. He wouldn't use it because he paskin is asr. It's possible. We don't hold like him. We hold his kosher. But if I could find an esrog that there's no shaila, there's no machlokus about, that's a nicer esrog. That's a more mahudr. That's very often where we find our precious. The precious for things that are 100% mutter, but I'm going to follow the view that holds usher. Perhaps it's timely to mention that this might be a way to look at Chalav Yisrael, as opposed to regular milk. Regular milk is kosher. And there are shittas that hold it's not kosher. We don't pass like them. We don't. We don't pass like them. Every major kosher agency will give a hechsher to Chalav Stam. We don't pass that it's usher. But we know there are people who say it's usher. To be careful with Chalav Yisrael is essentially a precious. I'm staying away from something which is mutter. It's mutter. Hershey bars are mutter. Reese's peanut butter cups are mutter. Ben and Jerry's, that's what it's called. Ben and Jerry's ice cream is mutter. It's fine. A precious. I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to have it. Why? Why am I not going to have it? I'm making up a chumrah? No, I'm not making up a chumrah. There's actually people out there who say it's awesome. We don't pass it that way. La'alocha, we don't hold it that. It's not us. It's mutter. But there are those who say it's not mutter. So that's like a hit or miss. It's a precious not to take it. So I'm not going to use it. It's a precious. That's an example that perhaps we can relate to. And that's really what it is on a much broader scale. When you have things that could be 100% fine la'alocha, but there are views, and some of the views say that it's not a fine. So we don't pass against those views. That, I think, would be like the first place to start in the world of precious. And the world of precious, of staying away from that which is mutter, would be for those things that there could be a machlokes. Now, it really, if I'm being honest with myself or with you as well, I don't know if the Ramchal would agree with what I just said, because he may put that into Nikius. He may put into Nikius, you're being so knocky that I'm not even doing something which someone holds as awesome. So it could be the Ramchal would even call that an extension of the Kiyus. But I think for our purposes, it's still a good starting point, that if a person is inclined and considering to be extra careful, extra parush or chassid, that usually will be your starting point. The starting point will be things that there's a question about. Even though we resolve the question and we know the answer and we have a conclusion, but that would be a good starting point. For someone to adopt other kashrus stringencies before things like Chalav Yisrael, it's a little odd, because like, where's that coming from? Now, let's start with the things where there's disagreements and work that way. Now again, maybe someone has dietary issues and that's not going to be an option for them. Okay, could be those are different considerations. But I know that many people hold, if you're going to start with foods that you eat, to be careful, an obvious place to start would be something like that. Also with issues with insects in certain produce. So there are people who carefully won't eat produce that has questionable ability to clean them from insects. If there's a question if it's insect-free or not, could be there are those who say it is and it's fine, it was checked, and you have reason to question or be nervous about it. So that nervousness will lead you to say, okay, so I'm not going to have it. What's going to happen? So I won't eat it. Is it the end of the world? Not the end of the world. If one kosher agency says you can clean a strawberry, not a strawberry, a raspberry, and another kosher agency says, no, you cannot clean a raspberry. There's no way to clean a raspberry. So you have a disagreement. Can you or can't you get rid of the bugs from raspberries? So there are those who say it's fine. Others say it's not fine. That would be a logical place to start. Okay, so you know what? So I won't eat raspberries. I'll be careful to follow the view that, not that I look down on people who don't, but I'll be more careful. So that's something to consider, that in the world of precious, perhaps to start in those areas where you don't have a consensus that this is, according to everybody, okay. We may paskin it's okay, but if there's a disagreement, like I told you before, the Marshal and the Ramal, all these disagreements, says the Shlach Kosh, that's a place to start with precious.